Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Yud, the 10th chapter of the book of Iyov. We're roughly a quarter of the way through the Sefer of Membe's 42 Prokem. We're now in the second half of Iyov's speech to Bildad. If you remember the sequence, Iyov has made his soliloquy of complaint to his friends. First, Eliphaz jumps in and accuses Iyov, and Iyov responds, and then Bildad, the second friend, makes his speech, and now Iyov is responding in a two-perek response. The first half of his response, or the first two-thirds of his response, were in Perek Tes. Perek Yud is the conclusion of this speech. This speech is 22 psukim long, this part of the speech, and it's very much following one specific argument, and that is the notion of what we call Yediya and Bechira. Hashem's foreknowledge, his omniscience, and the free will that human beings have. And he's pointing out that the two do not coexist. The two can't work together. This is a well-known conflict. It's something which the Rambam brings up in Hilchos Teshuvah. And it's something which the Ravid criticizes the Rambam as even bringing up, because there is no solution within the confines of human logic to understand how these two concepts lie at odds. Let's look through the logic of the questions of Iyov in this perek. He makes six sequential points, and we'll try to understand what he's getting at. So we look at the first two psukim. In this section, the point that Iyov is making is, if Hashem knows everything, then he knows everything that I would be doing. Therefore, all my actions would be mapped out, and everything's mapped out, then what evil can he claim that I'm doing? Because ultimately, I'm not choosing to be evil. I'm following the course of the plan of Iyov, which was Hashem's plan that I should be evil. Omar el Eloika, I'm saying to God, Al tarshieni, hoidieni, al matiriveni. What point is it holding me accountable when you're the one who made me do what it is that you said I'm supposed to be doing? Point number one. Then he goes on to point number two. Let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel. He says, so why is it that righteous people are suffering? So there are three options, the way the Malbim suggests it, each embedded in a third of this Pasuk. Hatov l'cha kisashok. So maybe it is because you abandon human beings. You don't care, or you don't watch human beings because you don't really care. That means to say you leave them to injustice. That can't be. Maybe it's because you don't care about us. Not that you're evil, but that you're abandoning us. You're disgusted by human beings. That also can't be. The only possibility is, if you're all-knowing, all-caring, and all-powerful, then you must have orchestrated the handiwork of the Rishayim, because you knew ahead of time that they were going to do what they were going to do. So the conclusion is therefore this, we'll call it stasis, which doesn't make sense. You know that we're going to do bad, and you still let it happen. So therefore, atzas reshaim hofata, you are the one who actually injected the idea or the energy of or the purpose of the reshaim in the first place. Point number three, he moves on to psukim dalad to zayin. This is one of the cruxes in the perek. He says, look, you don't experience time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a human being does. Ha'ene basar lach. Do you have human eyes in Kirois Enosh Tire? Do you see as a human being does, who sees time sequentially, one moment after the next moment? Hachimei Enosh Shamecha, do you live within the confines of the days of humanity? Im Shenoisecha Kimei Gover, do you experience life in lifetimes? No, you're above that. In the end of the day, you know everything about me because of all of time. You're above time. You're outside of the grid. You're not confined into the system which we are confined into. So therefore, the way he puts it is al dadcha kilo ersha. If it's your knowledge that I'm not going to sin, that means that you're missing part of the equation of the future, which can't be. So you must know. And if that's true, ve'en mi'al chomatzil. And there's no way anybody can escape you, because you do know. That's the so Pasuk Zayin really explicates this particular conundrum of the Perek, and that's why the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Tes Zayin expresses it as follows, quoting that very Pasuk. The Gemara says that Amar Rava suggests, the great Amora Rava argued, Bikesh Iyov Liftores Kol Ha'olam Kula Min Adin. Iyov wanted to acquit the entire world of justice, because he basically said, like an animal is set to be the way it is, and a particular animal will have hooves like this, another animal will have hooves like that, this human being will be a Rasha, and this human being will be a Tzaddik. meaning to say everything is pre-programmed, everything is deliberated ahead of time, and therefore there's nothing that we can do. We are simply marionettes in your game, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on to make his fourth point in Psukim Ches 2 Yud Daled. In these Psukim, he points out and he says, look, so you made me dependent. You fashioned me and made me depend on your energy for every day. The way the Malbim expresses it is not like a craftsman who makes a table and walks away and the table exists. You made sure that my every moment of energy depends on you by a moment-by-moment basis. So, and he goes on to describe that, the way you created me. You, at the beginning, I was this semen, this mixture of seed that looked like milk, and then v'chagivena takpieni, and then you solidified me as the egg and the sperm met, and in the womb you created me, you allowed me to the cells to start splitting, and you allowed the human being to start evolving. Or v'asar talbisheni v'atzamos v'gedim tosachecheni, and then you covered me with bones and flesh and skin, you fashion me within the womb. It's a beautiful description of the development of the fetus. Guarded my spirit within me, even within the womb. And he says, look, ve'ele tzofanta bilvavecho Hashem. In the end, while all this was going on, all these magical mechanisms of the creation of a human being was going on, you hid in your heart all the future iniquities that I was about to do. You knew that when I grew up, I was going to do this. You knew I was going to make bad decisions. You knew I was going to hurt people. You knew I was going to break relationships. You knew this. You knew all the sins I was going to do, but still you gave it to me on credit. So then he says, so my whole lifetime you knew I was predestined to sin and you still allowed me to live. So why now that I sinned, do you not acquit me? That's the argument. Very powerful argument that Eov makes over here. One of the questions as a side point on this particular section, which is asked, is why is it that Eov is focusing specifically, it's all autobiographical at this point. He's describing his own experience of birth. Why was it that you made me into a fetus? Why was it that you developed my organs? Why isn't he talking generically? Why isn't he talking about any child? So the Shem Yishmael in Parashas Toldos says a very beautiful thing. The Sokot Shavu Rebbe says a very beautiful insight. And he says that very large neshamos, very large souls, when they come down to this world, experience resistance. As Mashiach, holy souls that come down to this world, the Sitra Achra, the other force, the force of darkness, tries to forfeit them entering this world. And so Eov is talking about the miracle not only of a child being born, but specifically a neshama like himself, who he knew was a big neshama coming into this world. He goes on to make his fifth point in Psukim Tes Vav to Yud Zayin, in which this section he says, look, so my actions aren't really mine, they're not bad or good, meaning it's not me who's doing it because you predetermined by knowing what I would do because that had to be part of the system because it's on the grid. So he says, you know what I'm like? I'm like a shachal, like this line which is captured. You trap the lion. The lion looks so powerful. It looks like it can do anything, but it can't do anything at all because it's got a muzzle in its mouth. It's over its mouth. It's tied by its leg, and if it moves, it'll hurt it even more. That's what I'm like. I'm like this marionette, this puppet. I go through life, I'm like this lion. I look like something which is all powerful, but you know what? The strings are being pulled from behind. The hunter already has me. I can't do anything myself. That's how he describes it. And finally, he makes his last point in this section, and this is part of the sixth area, which is Psukim Yud Ches to the end of the Perek Chof Beis. And he says, so why did you bring me into this womb? So why the whole game? If you knew I was predetermined to do evil and you'd punish me, why did you bring me into this world? You knew I was going to sin. So just stop the whole experience. Cut the losses. Stop it ahead of time. Kasher lo yisi'e yeh. Yibetan lekever uval. He says, you know what? In the end of the day, now that I'm here, please, haloi ma'at yemai yachdol, please just take away the suffering. Allow me to die in peace, Hashem. Remove me from this world, but take away the suffering. You knew I was like this. Why? Why did you allow this to happen? Now, just conclude this parak with the words of Rav Shoah that he has in his shirim at the end of this parak. Shoah points out that ultimately, through all these struggles, you'll notice this particular part of the speech is not towards his friends at all. This is now a direct dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's not answering at this point. But he's having the dialogue not with his friends, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very intimate conversation with God. Eov is the consummate believer. He struggles with the details. He can't work out how Hashem is just, all-knowing and caring, and how he suffers when he knows that he's innocent. He struggles with that. But the starting point, the bedrock, the foundation of the argument is that he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he knows that Hashem wants the best. That's his struggle. He quotes that it's interesting that Rabbi Akiva Eger, one of the great geniuses of the past generations, he wrote questions, startling questions, very, very, very difficult questions in what's called Gilyonei Hashas, the little footnote, a little round footnote you'll find in almost every Gemara. And on the side of the Gemara, he asks these questions, and they're usually extremely, extremely difficult questions, contradictions in the Gemara, which Tosfos themselves never raised, questions within Tosfos themselves, and usually he leaves it what he calls a tzarech ion gadol, which means to say he leaves the question unanswered in a very, very difficult question. Dr. Breuer once said that there was never an apikoros who became an apikoros. There was never a heretic who became a heretic from the questions of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Because Rabbi Akiva Eger's questions weren't lakanter. They weren't to throw off the yoke. They were struggling with trying to understand the concepts of Judaism. And so says Rosh Hashanah, the same thing with Eov. Don't think for a moment that Eov is looking over here to throw off the burden. He's struggling to understand the burden he carries. He's struggling to understand his life. He's struggling to understand his relationship with Hashem because there is a relationship. And this is a deeply religious struggle that Eov is having. And as the conversations and dialogues continue, we'll continue to see that. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.